following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, indeed, I've got a great show for you kids here. I'm going to have to be brief here because what we got for you is probably going to take a minute. It's a Southern thing. It's a mid-Southern thing.
It's going to take a minute. It's been a minute since I saw you. It's been a minute since I had some of that good food that your mama makes. It's been a minute. I guess it's going to be a minute. It's good stuff. Tonight, or today or whenever you're consuming this, Mr. Lightning Malcolm joined us in studio with a really cool moment that we managed to capture, and it was great fun. Some great stories were told there, and it's good. I like this because it's a departure from all of the madness, the weirdness, the reality, the depression that is out there. There's a lot of it. I mean, I know some people tend to turn their nose up at the depression that falls into this time of year. Seasonal affective disorder, they call it. It's an acronym for SAD, you see. And, you know, the holidays sometimes will bring a lot of people down, and they cover it up. They won't talk about it much, and that happens. I'm one of those people, quite frankly. It's kind of a bummer. And so you turn to things that you hope to cheer you up, you know, hope to brighten your moment. And it doesn't always come out that way. Sometimes it'll make it worse. And I tell you, a good place where it makes it worse is social media. You know, we're so attuned to opening up Facebook and perusing the feed and seeing all of these posts from people. A lot of them are self-affirmation stuff right now. It's like, you know, it's that stuff. You see a ton of that. A lot of lonely people. A lot of people that are struggling with their problems, and they post these things to help motivate themselves. I'm no doctor, mind you, but that's just kind of what it seems like to me. And it's sad, really. And the more you look at it, the more it can kind of bring you down, because it's such a plastic vibe. It just seems sort of strange and weird, and you know, and the more I peruse Facebook, the more I see that there's still, I said it before, that there's really not much on there. There's just not much there. It's getting worse, really. Everybody's copying each other. It becomes an echo chamber. That's a term used in internet speak a lot. Certain websites become an echo chamber when everybody's saying the same thing. And in this particular case, it's kind of nothing, really. People trying to, you know, post, you know, fake pictures as real, or fake videos as real, or they're expressing a political point of view, whether right or wrong, or who knows. And, you don't know where the truth is. And some people just don't bother going any further to find out what they're reading is true, and they just take everything on face value, and next thing you know, the circle is complete again. You've gone all the way around the barn, and well, you're just kind of bummed out again. And it's because you think, oh, okay, I'll just refresh my feed again, and maybe I'll feel better. Maybe there'll be that good story that's up there. But look, none of it ever comes through. And I tell you what, goddammit, while I'm thinking about it, this morning at 6:20. I got a private message. Of course, my phone dinged. It was my fault, really, for not putting my phone on do not disturb. But I've kind of needed to have the phone where I can hear it. It's a long and involved story, but I need to have the phone where I can hear it sometimes. And it just pisses everybody off when that happens. At 6:20 this morning, the Facebook Messenger made its ka-ching sound, and I'm like, what the hell is this? And I of course, it woke me up, and I got to pee, so I got up and I went to the bathroom and I took the phone with me. I didn't want to wake up the immigrant. And I'm standing there in the bathroom, and I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at this message, and it's a, you know, this is your first Christmas wreath from me. I'll be expecting one from you too. Send it back. Who the fuck is sending me this shit? It's 6:20 in the morning. I wrote something rude to this individual, sent it back, not the wreath, but what I said, I sent something to the effect of screw you and your screwy holiday and go fuck off and take that wreath and cram it up your ass. Something like that. I was probably, you know, not quite as polite as that, but still I turned around and it occurred to me as I was headed back to the bed, I could stop this immediately. One way is to take myself completely off of Messenger, which would not be fair to the people that I do use it with. That's kind of important. Sometimes that's the only way that anybody can be reached. But I did discover, not that I've known this, I just haven't thought about it. I block them. Yes, you open up the Messenger app and you go to like the setting thing, and then you look down and it says block this person, and I'm like, ha ha ha! Yes, I went to bed with great glee, knowing that this person will never be able to reach me via Facebook Messenger ever again. Sending me chain shit through that thing. Stop it. It's 6:20 in the morning. The hell is wrong? And Christmas shit on top of that too. Hey, some of us don't like that holiday. Not particularly, at least. Such as it is. I felt better. So, you know, when it comes to these types of feelings about like this holiday season or whatever, or people just being people and being dumb, when you find something and you realize that you can do this, the power's at your fingertips to block them, to make this just stop. I laid back down into the bed. I only had a couple hours left, but it was the best 2 hours sleep I got, because I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any, you know, I felt better about it. I felt gleeful that I probably shit on someone's holiday this morning. Hey, you shit on my morning while I was trying to sleep. The last thing I need is for that to happen again from these people. It was the same person that had sent me some video that said that I should support the fucking Cheeto for 2020 for the presidential election. I'm like, are you fucking nuts? We're 11 months into this administration. It's like a dumpster fire, for God's sake. So I wrote back, fuck Trump and fuck all of you who voted for him. Once again, I probably wrote something not quite as polite as that, but, you know, nevertheless. Enough. All right, hey, listen, I want to hip you guys to what's going on the program tonight, or today, this afternoon. You can tell it's dark when I recorded this. A while back, we had scheduled on the Booze and Blues show Mr. R.L. Boyce, the now Grammy-nominated R.L. Boyce, for his album Roll and Tumble. Which is nominated under traditional blues for a Grammy. This would be something special if he got it. He's only recorded two albums in 50 years, and this would be something if he nailed it. And we had him scheduled on the show, and at the last minute, Lightnin' Malcolm was coming in to play drums and a little bass with him. And well, we got to the showtime. It was 8 o'clock Central Sunday nights, and there was no hide nor hair from RL. And it just we got to about 8:30. I'm like, look, we got to do something. And Malcolm said, hey, let's just do something, you and me. And that's exactly what we did. And we did 2.5 hours, if you will, and just had a large time. Malcolm is such a great dude. And it turned out that RL had a flat tire and his phone was down. It was out of batteries, and he was stuck, and he couldn't get a hold of anybody. So everything worked out fine. We were kind of worried about what had happened to him. But long story short, he's good. Everything's fine. And of course, a great happy conclusion to the story is that he's now been nominated for a Grammy. However, Jeff was off that night. Malcolm and I were in the studio together, along with our good friend Mr. Mark Caldwell. Steven Seligman was in there, and there were a couple of other folks that had blown in to just kind of witness it, because it turns into kind of a good old time down in there. So we carried on, and we recorded a great time and included some music of him playing. All the music you'll hear in just a moment was Lightnin' on the vocals, playing guitar and drums all at the same time. How does he do that? I'll leave that to your imagination. It's great. We had a fantastic time. We will not be playing like the bonus record that we usually do because of time constraints. It's going to be a little bit longer of a show, but trust me, kids, it's worth every frame of this. There is a recorded tune that we played on the air that night, and it all fits perfectly. He's got a great story about working with Robert Plant and touring all over the place and crashing on people's couches, these blues legends, and learning the craft of the blues. It's a great show. We'll get to it. Lightnin' Malcolm is the guest right here from Radioland.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Lightnin' Malcolm is in the studio. What do you say, my boy? How you doing?
Hey, it's a Hill Country production tonight. You know? I'm no stranger to this type of situation.
No, not at all. It's, you know, you just kind of have to kind of go with it, but I appreciate you sticking around tonight.
It's all right. Well, I had already got out and got all set up down here. The amp was warming up and everything. Yeah. Got a brand new amp from Peavy gave me.
Oh, yeah.
She's been wanting me to feel on her a little bit, and so got home from a tour, and tonight's actually her first night. So.
Oh, you didn't take her out on the road.
They gave me two of them. I took one and one stayed home, and I about wore the other one out on the. Oh. I was on about a 40 day tour with Black Joe Lewis cross country.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had I wanted to travel light because I was traveling with the band. We had some little flights and different stuff. So I was using electronic drums, and I was using one of these. It's just a PV Classic 30. They gave me a couple of these. PV did.
Yeah.
And I took one on the road with me and left one at home. And the one I took out on the road, she might need a little TLC. I had her cranked up to 10
and 11
every night. And I had it cranked to 11 every night because we were playing with a big band. And, you know, I was mic'd up to the system, but, you know, you still have to, you know. Anyway, I had it pegged every night, so this is actually the other one. I'm going to let that one catch its breath. And I thought I'd try this one out tonight.
Yeah, got to warm it up and see how it does.
I'm actually going to take that one and put a new speaker in it. I think I blew the speaker in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a new speaker in it and give it to RL to have for an amp. I was going to, because I want him to have an extra amp to use.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. These are pretty good amps, and they're not too heavy. Like, it's, you know, that's why I want him to have one. And they gave me two of them, so I'm going to let him have one.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So how was it? How was it, that tour there that you did?
Oh, it was real fun, man. It was a lot of, we played like all cross country, and it was really cool crowds. It was kind of like a lot of rock crowds, and I don't know how to describe it. It was a lot of young people and stuff, you know, and old people. It was just a real good mix of really good crowds. You know, every town we played in, we played like a really good room.
Yeah.
You know, Black Joe's really well known. Got a really cool fan base, and so I was just playing one-man band, you know, foot drums and guitar, opening the shows, and then playing guitar with the band.
Right.
And, you know, Hill Country Production, once again, I was, you know, the week before we're getting ready to leave, I'm like, okay, I need to listen to their songs because I didn't know any of them. And they're all songs. They're not like, you know, grooves.
Right.
Like our stuff where you just get in.
Right.
There's parts to them and stuff. So I was like, all week long, the first show's in New Orleans, like on a Thursday, and I'm like, boy, I need to be listening to them songs and at least figuring out what key they're in. But see, I had played with them in Memphis. When they played in Memphis, because I had toured with Black Joe years ago, so we were buddies anyway.
Yeah.
I hadn't saw him in a while.
Yeah.
And they played in Memphis like a year ago or so, and I opened the show, just came and opened the show for him and sat in with him. And I didn't know the songs then, but it was so lit. Like, we were just like vibing, so they're like, man, come on tour with us. So I did. And I planned on learning the songs. I really did plan on it.
Good intentions.
I know. Now I'm a family man, and I was leaving for like a 40-day tour, so the week leading up was like really hectic, just trying to get stuff together, get all the bills paid, and make sure the grass is mowed and the house is halfway, you know, can stay, you know, be gone for a while, you know, for the wife and baby. And then I was running around getting a bunch of gear the last couple of days. And I didn't even get to listen to the songs until the drive to New Orleans. So I'm listening to them like, luckily I had a guy driving me down there. So
I was going to say, you're over there driving with the neck of the guitar hanging out of the window.
Right. Well, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. But, no, I had a driver driving me down there, drop me off with them.
Yeah.
Meet them there. But it was funny, though, because the first night was so magical. Because I did know the songs, I had to make up for in other areas, you know. And like, I love like getting with a band and just like feeling their vibe and bringing your chemistry into their vibe and not overwhelming their vibe.
Right.
But usually if you do it the right way, it can enhance. Like all you got to do is know what not to do. And that first night was really like what not to do.
Yeah.
But it was like one of the most magical shows of the tour. But after a couple of nights, you know, like that night after the gig while we were riding the next city, you know, I'm back there with the bass player, like doing my, you know, he's showing me some of the changes. But it was really fun. It's a long story to say. Hill Country Production, you got to get up there and just wing it, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's all it is. Yeah.
But like, we wouldn't be placed where we weren't suitable to be working at, you know. So it's like, that's how I've just come to accept it. Like, you do it because that's what you do.
Right.
You know, different people do different stuff, that's what they're able to do. Like, you know, like a perfect example was playing with RL on this Jules Holland show. We just did, it's a really high profile European TV. It's like Austin City Limits is maybe even bigger, you know, what it is to America, in Europe, and or even like, I don't know, maybe even big, like MTV almost. Like, it's the biggest, one of the biggest shows over there. So we flew over and we're only doing one song, like three and a half minutes. So it's really compartmentalized, or whatever you call it, you know, like the what we're going to do.
Right.
The whole energy, the whole everything we're going to do. And RL is like the total improviser. I mean, he's like, he doesn't have any songs. He just has these riffs and the mood, and he can make up the most amazing stuff. But you never know, like, when it's going to happen and when it's not. So it was like...
He doesn't either, I don't think.
But no, totally. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's totally just feel, you know. It's totally by feel. It can be totally amazing. Well, it's always great, but...
But these guys that are producing this, they had no idea either. They didn't know what they were signing
right,
up for.
Right, like they're asking us the day before, like they're trying to get the graphics together. So they're like, oh, what's the title of the song you're doing? And the producer's looking at me, you know, like these are big, this is like a major, it's like The Price is Right, like a big building. It's like a TV, there's cameras and lights everywhere. I mean, you could tell you're on a TV set, like it's like The Price is Right or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, there's bands all over set up and... And we're set up right in the middle of everything. And, you know, like there's people, assistants following the guys around with headphones and his producer and got a clipboard. And, what's the title of the song, please? And look at me and I'm like, tell us when you want to start and exactly when you want to end. Like exactly how long you want the song to be.
Yeah.
And you put down what you want. I think, you know, Jeff, the record company, he'd already worked it out, the title.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the song we were going to do because, like, RL's one of the true total improvisers that I know. Like, and he improvised the song. He made up some of the greatest lyrics he's ever done. But I didn't know that. And I don't know if he knew it. We didn't know what was going to happen until it actually happened.
You know?
It was like a really high profile, like,
And this went out live, right?
Yeah, it went, that's what I'm saying. It was live, so I'm like, please, Lord, let it happen here. Yeah. It was, to me, like, it was like flying an airplane through, like, rugged mountains, like, 10 feet off the ground. Like, just near crashes at every turn. Because you got to make sure you're in the right mood, but you don't want to be too in the mood, you know? You know, like, it's like, it was really, really fun. But when I heard the bands, the other bands that were playing that were really big pop bands and stuff, it's a really high-profile thing, I knew we were going to be all right because the music is so unique and so... I've seen it with, like, R.L. Burnside and T-Model 4. I've traveled with these guys and seen where, like, the blues doesn't make the money, but it's the boss.
Yeah.
When you play like that, it's the boss. Like, it's the boss of everything. And all the other artists were just looking at us like... Like, I mean, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but it's not me. It's not us. The music, it's the boss. It just gets overlooked. I don't know. Like, the world's upside down.
Until you hit somebody in the back of the head with it, then they realize, damn. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've been around. I've seen it's the boss.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because I play. I play it because it's the boss, or try to play it because it's the boss. You know, I do other stuff, but that's the boss. Like, that's the foundation of everything. You know, as long as you got that, you can do almost anything.
Sure.
But, like, my point is that I knew we were going to be all right when I heard the other bands. I was like, it's going to be cool because we're going to just
blow them away. Yeah.
And I think it went pretty good, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was probably the fastest 3 minutes of your day.
I was ready for a drink when we got done. Because, you know, the record companies depend on me, you know, they're spending money to fly us over. It's a promotional thing, you know, so it's, you know, I'm not going to get too into business, but it's a lot of, it was high, you know, it's like, failure was not an option.
Sure.
You know, and not that RL would fail, but, you know, there's different degrees of, like, taking 30, 40 minutes to get warmed up to get the gas really cooking.
Yeah.
Or being able to just, on a dime, get the gas cooking. You know, like, that's the, and I use RL Burnside as a example. All, you know, all the days leading up to it, that, you know, on the flight over, I was like, trying to psych RL up ahead, like get it in your mind, kind of what you're gonna sing, a little bit, so you really hit him with, like you put your whole life in this 3 minutes. Like you've been waiting your whole life for this 3 minutes.
Yeah, you there's a I mean? There's a video of him I saw. It was done. I think it was a French television show that RL was on with Kenny Brown, and I think Cedric was playing drums on it.
Probably was.
And it was like a Tonight Show type of vibe. And
oh, yeah. You're talking about R.L. Burnside.
Yeah, R.L. Burnside. And you know, he's sitting down, and this is like toward the end of his career.
Yeah.
And it was just as if he'd been playing all night long. But the fact of the matter is he was probably back there going, what the hell are we going to do?
Well, you know, R.L. where's the whiskey was the ultimate pro. Well, like R.L. Burnside. He was the ultimate pro. Like he could jump off his tractor and fly halfway around the world and jump on stage and do it just like he had done a million times. Like he was a smooth character like that. Like he didn't let nothing rattle him.
Yeah.
But he knew what he was going to. He didn't like go up there and just, I'm going to freestyle a song on national television. You know, I mean, like he had a song that they had tight. They're going to do it. You know, yeah. They're not going to second guess at the last second. You know, whereas other guys will, you know, like they'll just, you know, second guess at the last minute and do something totally different.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And even RL like flipped the pattern on me on the axle when we went live.
Yeah.
But I was able to catch it. You know, I you know enough. A crook knows a crook. So it takes a crook to catch a crook. So I was on time. I hope we was on time.
I'm sure it did fine.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's those are challenges. You know, those are fun things to do because it's not set in stone. Like, you know, it takes a lot of feeling and sensitivity, like confidence and sensitivity at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to play hard and play firm, but also be able to feel, you know, how to the whole thing is get the best from the artist. To get RL psyched up but not overdo it, you know, like you can't force him to do it, but I want him to let him know, like, you know, what's at stake? Like this is a time, this is a really moment for you to really like pour something out of yourself. If he's going to do it, tonight's the night to do it.
Was there a studio audience in on that deal, or was it?
Yeah. Okay. There was
so
like
that helps. Yeah.
Yeah, that helps too. But you know, like the blues is so, it takes a few songs just to get like the motor warmed up. You know, like I mean, sometimes if you're just evil, you can just get there on the first. You know, like R.L. Burnside evil, you can just get there. You know, that's the goal. But sometimes, you know, even then, you're still going to be even hotter in about 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but hopefully you can start out evil.
Sometimes a little rough. Sometimes.
Yeah. It's, you know. Well, different engines burn differently.
Well, yeah.
You know, different mixture of gas, you know.
Some run hotter than others, man. Some take a little longer to warm up.
Yeah.
But you're doing well, though. I was telling you before we got on the air, your record, Outlaw Justice, man, I love that record.
Thank you. Me too.
You did a really good job with that thing. Yeah. You got a lot to be proud of. It's different, and that's what I like about it. You know, there's a lot. I mean, it's obviously you, but your songwriting and that stuff is a little different. You're doing some different sounds. You're experimenting a little bit there. There's a lot of, I'm hearing a lot of the protest stuff from the 60s coming out of it. You know?
Right. Probably like Woody Guthrie. And
a lot of Woody Guthrie vibe too.
All that stuff, and kind of mixed in with modern sounds. And I really kept it pretty simple. Like, it's really just drums and guitar. And I overdubbed some slide, but I really wanted the album to not be too busy and really, like, the bass notes. Like, the bass only hits when the kick drum hits, probably. It's really, like, there's a lot of space.
Yeah.
I like to put a lot of space. Like, so you get bigger hits. You know, like,
well, it's not very sophisticated, and I mean that in a good way. It's good. It's simple. It's got a lot of flavor to it. It's a fine record.
Make it feel good, and then hopefully, like, don't crowd out. Like on that one, the lyrics, it was more of a lyrics record than like a lot of sound effects and stuff, you know, like I didn't want anything getting away of the words, you know.
It makes you think when you listen to it. A lot of those things.
That'd be trouble.
I think is it Department of Justice? Is that the one of the teams I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it's called Nuclear Fallout Cave.
Fallout Cave. I love that one too because you're telling a very true story. And right now in this world, everybody's thinking about that shit.
And Outlaw Justice too. What's it called? Justice Department.
Justice Department. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't play them live very much. I would, but I've got so many songs. Like I'm already on to the next record.
Good.
I do remember. I was on tour with Samantha Fish, who's a really great young blues artist, and a lot of different things, Americana, you know, all different kinds of styles. We was doing a tour when the election happened, and we played in Washington, D.C. at the Hamilton like 2 days after the election.
Oh, my.
And it's only like a couple blocks from the White House.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a crazy feeling. And I was playing that song, and I remember like my chair was about to bust, like this chair I had. It was like wobbling, like it was about to fall apart. My harmonica like flew out the rack. A string broke. Oh. It was weird. It was like, I remember that feeling. I was like sinking in quicksand during that song. Like it was like, wow. Like I made it through the song and it was a good one, but it was like, wow. It was like, I felt like I was sinking. And then I also tell you, like maybe I shouldn't tell you, but like, you know, I'm here to talk.
Sure.
While I was leaving the gig, I was in a rental car. And I was a little bit high. You know, I ate a brownie before the show, and I had a couple beers, you know, but it wasn't bad. But, you know, the freeway is like a quarter mile away.
Yeah.
Once I get to the freeway, I know I'm cool. You know, it's like I had a couple beers, but, you know, enough questionable, but don't want to be driving. But anyway, I'm like, I'm cool. Just get to the freeway. I'm good. And so I come out, but my GPS, because the parking is down in the basement, my GPS wouldn't kick on. So I had to come out on the turn first. Kind of wait for my GPS to show me where the, and I end up like leaving the Hamilton, got on this road, and next thing I know, like I'm within like less than a quarter mile, I'm going into the White House, like I'm actually driving. It's like two in the morning. I'm driving with a bunch of guitar amps and guitars and shit next to me. Radio was blasting, but I quickly turned it down when I realized. And I was on a one-way street and couldn't get off. That was riding like up to the white, like the monument and all that, like the damn White House,
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue,
dude. For real, like, and I couldn't turn off of it because it's a one-way street.
Yeah.
And I finally got turned. I found a place to cut and get back on the. There was a median in between it, and I was like, man, this is the wrong place for me to be. Like 2 or 3 in the morning. Like of all roads I could get on, this is the craziest motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm here to play a gig.
Right. Anyway, I got out, thank God. But I was like, this is not some country road down in you know in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
No,
you know,
it's like a little different up there.
Yeah. I'm in the cage here, boy.
Muleman Massey tells a story about when he was up there, and he went to, I guess it was the Library of Congress, and you know he tells that story about him being down at Parchman. On that weed bust, you know.
Oh, wow.
And he was, well, they gave him, 18 years or something like that for for an ounce of weed or something. And,
wow.
And he wound up doing a little bit of time, and he got out, and then he had learned to play down there. And there were a lot of blues guys that had been in Parchman.
All right.
And that guitar, the prison guitar, he wound up with it. He got to take it home from prison. And long story short, he gets called from the Library of Congress in Washington to bring the guitar and tell a story. So he says he's driving up there, and he goes, now look, man, I got a couple ounces of grass on me. I don't want to get in any trouble. And he goes, no, it's legal up here in D.C.
Right, yeah. Now it
and,
is.
And he's like, so you mean to tell me I did all this time in Parchman Prison for something that's legal in Washington, D.C.?
It is crazy.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
I still can't believe it that you can't grow your own medicine on land that you pay for.
I know, right?
I mean, it's like, you know, if you buy the land that you live on or whatever.
And you're paying taxes on that.
And you can't, or even if you didn't, just grow your own. I can't believe you can't grow your own medicine. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It is crazy. You want to play a tune?
I guess so.
I mean, you're all set up over there. I mean, I hadn't really
prepared nothing.
Well, you want me to take a break instead and then come back and we'll do something? Or?
It don't matter. No, I'll play some. Right. Yeah, it's not.
We'll just do a tune here, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll be back. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
all right.
We keep it light, nice and easy.
That's cool.
Right.
That's cool.
All right, then.
Am I playing a song?
Or you can, whatever.
Are you playing one? I thought you, have you turned one on?
No, I haven't. No, we're on. We're still on.
This is the most unprofessional I've ever been.
Don't worry.
And that's saying a lot.
We're not about professionalism around
right,
here.
Right, yeah, it's cool, it's cool. I'm just playing with you. But no.
If you wanted to play a tune or.
Let me play something just to break the ice. Right. I want to talk about some other stuff, though, that I guess
absolutely.
I should be talking about.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting there telling all these crazy tales about drinking and driving instead of like.
We got all
business.
Night, man. We got all night.
Well, this is a little new thing here. This is actually unreleased, but I kind of want to play. You know what? I'll do this for you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. There
right,
it is.
All right.
There you go. Lightning Malcolm, ladies and gentlemen. You're for some reason, your sound, when you play stuff like that, these little instrumentals, they tend to have type of almost a Native American vibe to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, probably so.
I don't know if you're influenced by that or if it's just, I mean, obviously blues is about as Native American as it gets, but
but
as far as traditional, you know, Native Indian, if you will, sounds, you have that in there. Is there something about the way you play?
Well, I like to get down to earth. You know, I think that's what it really is, like really kind of like embracing the earth and the nature and trees and the green leaves, you know.
Yeah.
You think about like that song I got called Tree. I don't know if we talked about it, but like I just think about how the tree breathes in carbon dioxide and blows out oxygen.
Yeah.
And we breathe in oxygen, blow out carbon dioxide. So, you know, like a lot of them, my instrumentals or whatever, I'm making the guitar do it. I'm just trying to get in there like that, like down to earth. And I remember like being a kid, like playing in the woods and stuff, and I'd feel like Indians was watching me. Like, I don't know, like, you know, you just feel like.
Sure.
Ancestors, whatever, up there, not necessarily my ancestors, but just the ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, we're watching you and, you know, I don't know.
Maybe there's something to it.
Maybe.
Maybe
so. I think it's definitely something to it. You know, I mean, there's so many different kind of music, like, and nobody really sounds like, I don't like plan it, but I want to get more into that because not a lot of people are really doing that and kind of putting it into like a, I don't know, like, there's not that much music like that out there, like really hitting on the.
You're right. There's
like
not
like the blues channels, like
yeah, they're
BB King, Satellite. They need that sound to come reeling through there, screeching through every now and then. And,
yeah,
you know, and everything, you know, just the blues channels, you know, the radio stations. I think it needs to be there now more than ever.
I agree. I think you're on the right path, man.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but but I mean that's just natural to me. Like that's the songs. Like that's just a new instrumental. I don't even have a name for it yet, but just when I want to get warmed up and like get myself like kind of melt into the room or whatever. Like that's the type of stuff I play. Like and you know,
I like it.
Me too. That's why you know
it's good stuff.
I'm calling all you good kind people. We're about to have some fun tonight, y'all. I want y'all to forget all your troubles. Get together under one roof and stomp your feet and clap your hands. Well,
Lightning and Malcolm there, and stop your feet, clap your hands.
Well.
That's a great song. That's one of my favorites of yours, by the way.
Thank you. We end a lot of shows with that because it's kind of like it's hard to. That's like the climax song, and it kind of sums it all up right there.
Well, you know, and I like how it starts off. It's just a kick in the pants right out of the chute, and then it just grows, and it gets pretty rambunctious there. It's a good swing there. What happened was
we was messing around in the studio. Me and I was cutting. Can't remember which record, whatever record that is.
Whatever the one that was.
Yeah.
Couple back.
Rough out there.
Rough out there. That's it. Yeah.
Cameron Kimbrough was playing drums. Kenny Kimbrough's son.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Kimbrough is Junior Kimbrough's son, and Cameron is his son.
Cam's been down here a couple of times.
Yeah, he's a great drummer. You know, we were cutting a record there, and Luther popped in. That was at Jim Dickinson's studio right there.
Yeah.
And Luther popped in for a quick second, you know, and we just cut that on the floor live, you know, no overdubs, you know, the guitars together, everything all together.
Wow.
You know, in one take. Luther never heard the song. You know, we just, that what you hear. Like,
it's just him playing cold.
Yeah. Everything. It's just out of the chute. One take. He was only there like 20 minutes. We cut two songs. We cut that one in working, like literally in like 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
He walked in. I'm like, plug your ass in, goddammit. We're going to do this right here. You know, while you're here. We were getting hot anyway, you know, cutting some other stuff.
Yeah.
And literally, we cut them live vocals, live everything.
And then boom, you know, done.
It was done. Yeah.
And it was
like,
what the hell just happened?
Right, it was an explosion. Every time me and Luther get together, it's an explosion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we just, I don't know, there's a electricity, you know, we got that. And when we get together, it's really like an arc.
Was it your relationship with Luther that got you into the orbit of Robert Plant?
Yeah. Well, you know, I already knew Robert Plant. I'd met him in Clarksdale.
Yeah, because he's a regular down there, isn't he?
Well, I wouldn't say he's a regular. But, you know, he's irregular.
He's irregular. He'll show up every once in a while. He's a little
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Memphis, Tennessee.
A little backup.
He's irregular. Needs
needs a little mineral oil.
Yeah, no, he's super. He loves music. And, you know, but while I was touring with the All-Stars, we did a tour with him.
Yeah.
And he actually came to Memphis to Royal Studio. Well, we were, we knew he was coming to town, and he was able to give us a little time. And I'd been traveling with Luther and Cody, and I want to say, like, you know, the All-Stars, North Mississippi All-Stars, yeah. Luther and Cody, like, playing with them was really fun. Like, I mean, they're so talented and explosive and got their shit together that anybody could play bass with them, kind of. Like, I mean, you could just stand there and just hold down, you know. But to really get in there... You know, you can just stand there and hold the one, and it's going to be all right
because
they're going to explode enough that you can put on a great show. But to really get in there and jam with them and really, like, feel the riffs and, like, take them to another level, like, you had to be – it was totally kinetic, like telekinetic.
Yeah.
Like, because they are, like, twins, literally. Like, I mean, they've been playing all their life as brothers, and they end the songs different every night or whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll be totally tight, like a totally formatted thing.
And they're not even looking at each other when
Right, exactly. And it's to be able to really get with them is like a totally kinetic thing that's improv on the spot, which reminds me of the old guy. It's different than the old guys, but it's the same in that it's like you're just feeling it as you go, you know.
Yeah.
It's total improv.
Yeah.
And, like when Luther came in for that song, like we just... Hang on, buddy. Let's go for a ride. And, you know, and you got the right guys together, know how to do
it. And it just happens.
Yeah. We had Robert was coming to town, and we all met at Royal Studio, which is like when you walk up in there, you just get chill bumps.
I mean,
it's
the magic. Legendary room. Yeah.
There's so many of my favorite, like Johnny Taylor, O.V. Wright, you know, Al Green. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, like songs I grew up with that, like, they're just like my whole bloodstream, you know, is like in them songs. And to just walk up in there, and actually Robert came, and Luther called me the night before. We were home for a couple of days, and Luther called me like about 11 o'clock at night. He's like, hey, man, can you meet us at the studio tomorrow about 10 a.m. or noon? We're meeting Robert Plant at Royal Studios, and bring a song.
That's no pressure.
I know. Not much. But I had this little thing I was working on. Man, I might play that.
Play that.
I don't know if I'm going to play that, but I had this. I mean, we recorded it, a version of it that day. Robert was bringing a D harp, so I mean, the band would be in the key of A.
Uh-huh.
And so I just transformed a song I'd been working on into A and just made it fit for that day.
Yeah.
And but the song I had wrote was called Goat Meat, or Ain't Fit to Eat, or Bucks is Wild, whatever you want to call it. We call it Goat Meat on the record. It's on the World Boogie's Coming album. And we actually cut it right there on the floor, live vocals, live everything.
Yeah.
Like one take. There's a song before it. It was like a Junior Kimbrough instrumental where Luther's playing the guitar and I'm playing the bass. And when we play it live, at the end of the song, we would hand over, he would hand me the guitar and I'd hand him the bass. And we would go into another song.
Right.
And we actually did that. Like what you hear on the record is actually us playing song, handing over the guitars and playing the next song with Robert Plant playing with us, all live on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I didn't have no time. I had to remember the words and everything. I mean, it was cool. I felt blessed to do it. But, like, yeah, it was one of the times where, like, you just had to be ready, when stuff pops up. And
what was Plant's reaction to all of that?
Man, that's the best part of all. Like, he jammed with us. We actually did like two or three takes of the song, but we ended up using the first one. The first one was the one.
Yeah,
it just happened. You can feel the explosion. And we just, since we're all there, we took a couple safety takes, but the first one was the one. And what was funny was we cut it real quick and we went into the control room to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert was sitting next to me, like on the couch, just like chewing his thumbnails, like nervous as could be. And it was just like, a band when like you're just like in junior high or something.
Yeah.
Like when you first cut a song and you listen to it played back.
You're scared.
It was the first time. I won't say he was scared, but he was. It was funny how it felt like a band for the first time cutting a song. And he was really concerned about how good it sounded and how good he did. Whereas he could have been like, fuck you motherfuckers. I did for you, take it and be happy. But he was
Led Zeppelin, son of a bitch.
Right, he was totally the opposite. He was like the most humble of all of us.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like, I mean, it was weird how like he's so caught up in just loving music that he was no arrogance or no at all.
He seems like that.
In fact, it was totally, I was like blown away at how like I'm sitting next to Robert on the couch listening to the playback. And what we just cut, like a live take, no piecing together, but anyway, the song was called Goat Meat. And that was a song like from, I had wrote the chorus, from something, Other had told me and Luther about he bucks his wife, he raised goats and slaughtered, they cook them for the annual picnic every year, the fife and drum picnic.
Yeah.
And, in Gravel Springs, Mississippi, right there outside of Saint-Toby. And so, goats and the goat meat is like a heavy part of the culture there. It's just a part of, like Other always said, boy, eat that goat instead of that pork. It won't run your pressure up like pork will. something in pork run your pressure up, but if you ate the goat, you wouldn't run your pressure up. So he was a big advocate for it.
For goat meat.
Yeah. But now this ties in the story too. It's a long story, but
that's all right.
When you guys might know, when you kill a deer or something like a goat, that type of animal, like they always told me, when you shoot a deer or kill a deer, you got to cut the back legs off as quickly as possible because there's a gland. When the deer or goat dies, there's a gland that gets released, through the body and can spoil the meat. Like if you kill a deer and you don't cut that off within the first like couple hours, that meat is going to taste gamey because it like releases that hormone or whatever, the hormones into the meat. And what Other was talking about was the chorus is what he had gave us. It was called "These Bucks Is Wild, These Does in Heat Got That Ambition." They call it ambition. That's like when the goat is in heat, or the doe is in heat. They got that hormone is like running through their meat. You don't want to slaughter them when they're in heat because it spoils because the meat's going to taste.
Yeah,
it tastes gamey. Yeah, it makes total sense. But anyway, they called it, the old people called it ambition.
Ambition.
And I went home just thinking about that. Wow, ambition up in the meat. got goat down the road, 850 higher than words go. Got goat down the street. But anyway, just I was just thinking about that. Wow, ambition up in the meat. And so I wrote some lyrics to it, you know, kind of just talking about the fast life, you know, out here. You know, I might play that one. I can try it. I'm going to recut that song. Like, that was the version with them, with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
But I cut it in standard tuning, and we wrote it. Me and Luther, like, kind of wrote that. Like, I wrote the verses, but we kind of wrote the chorus, and just the raw enthusiasm that we got together, it was in open tuning. And I always felt like the song should have been open tuning.
Right.
Like, he caught me so quick that I was like, shit, okay, I'll be there in the morning with a riff and a song. And it's one of the best songs I ever wrote, but, like, you know, and I was hoping Robert was going to sing it, but he just played harp.
He just played harp on it.
That's what he did. I don't even have it tight. Like, we may have to edit this one out, but I'll try it for y'all if y'all want to hear it.
Can't edit shit. This is live, man.
Oh, it's live?
Yeah.
It's live. I didn't know that
this
all night.
This has been live all night.
Oh, shit. I was talking about drinking and driving on DuPont Circle. Dude, I ended up on DuPont Circle. I was right next to the White House. I was, like, trying to get the hell out of there. Well, in that case, we'll still try it.
Yeah, go
but
for it.
But
yeah.
If I make a mistake, y'all look over me. I'm from the country.
That's all right.
But this is called Goat Meat. On open streets, y'all. These donuts bucking. Ain't fit to eat. Ain't fit to eat. Ain't fit to eat. Old Gabe was jumping out on the hill. On that consumption. Out by the steel. These donuts bucking. That 90 proof. Got old Gabe press out. Shot through the roof, shot through the roof, shot through the roof. These bucks are wild, these does in heat. Got that ambition up in the meat. We got gold for sale on up the street, y'all. These donuts bucking, ain't fit to eat, ain't fit to eat, ain't fit to eat. Young dog was straying, away from home. Got caught a blade and playing grown. Chasing that fine lady, meat on the bone. Too close to the highway, wind up doggone. Wind up doggone, wind up doggone. All these bucks, y'all, and all these dough. Been worked too much, I got a soul to soul. These donuts bucking and raising hell. You done got something, can't hardly sell. You can't hardly sell, you can't hardly sell. These bucks are wild, these doughs in heat. Got that ambition up in the meat. Got gold for sale on up the street, y'all. These donuts bucking, ain't fit to eat, ain't fit to eat, ain't fit to eat, ain't fit to eat. crawling by myself. Well, I'm crawling, babe, crawling, babe. Babe, I'm crawling by myself. I'm gonna keep on crawling, babe. I don't know nickel, baby. Babe, I ain't got down. Leave to be warm, I'm on them. Crawl all night, I'm crawling, babe. Crawling, babe. Babe, I'm crawling. Wave them home. I'm gonna keep on crawling, babe, a great long way crawling. I wasn't nothing but a child. Daddy found me eating that on the highway side. I'm crawling, babe, crawling, babe. Babe, I'm crawling night and day. I'm gonna keep on crawling, trying to crawl my blues away.
Yeah, there you
crawling,
go.
Baby.
Crawling, baby.
Love y'all, Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, indeed.
Lightning Malcolm, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so very much, my friend. You got a show coming up when now?
That's a good question.
You got some stuff coming up around here. Well, you got to go to South America and then come back.
America, the 1st of December, and then we have a show in New Orleans, me and Cedric Burnside.
Yeah.
I'm
glad you're working with him again.
I'll tell you what we're doing. We're doing December 9th in DBA in New Orleans. We're doing the 15th at Whitewater Tavern. I'm doing the 16th solo in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Yeah.
At Cregan's.
Yeah.
Irish Pub. Cool little spot over there on the main street if anybody's out. And then we're doing a Memphis Rail Garden.
Rail Garden, yeah.
December 30th.
Central Juke and
Joint
Cooper.
Duo.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That'll be fun.
Lightning Malcolm, Cedric Burnside, tearing the house down for y'all.
Very good.
Love y'all. Thank you guys, Memphis.
Thank you so much.
I had a blast tonight.
Well, we always have a blast with you around.
Let's face it. We take our music pretty seriously around here. You want the best gear for the money, right? Turntables, headphones, home theater systems, and some really good information about designing the best system for you. It's all available at the Audio Advice banner ad at radio-memphis.com. Now look, this is for serious fans of the good stuff. You want theater-grade sound for your home. From home automation to lighting to security, you can get it all and get the right advice at Audio Advice. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Mr. Josh McClain has joined us here in the studio.
Hello!
What's up, buddy? What's
hey,
up?
Hey, man! I'm down to like 4 or 5 ultralights a day going from 2 packs of Reds.
Right on.
Because I got really sick, uh-huh. almost died, and then was like, oh, yeah, I can't die. I've got a wife.
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a part of me, honestly, though, Rick, like, there's a part of me that wants to, like, get just famous enough and then die, give my wife
right,
all those checks,
right, yeah.
right? So at, like, 50, she'll always be gorgeous, but she'll still be young, and she can get her some nice young stud
yes.
that's got a college degree
yes.
and never had a meth problem. You know, he's only been to jail once for, like, a party frat thing and not
right.
a weird rapey way.
Yeah.
More in a, oh, they TP'd the coach's house kind of a way, you know?
Right.
There's a part of me that really wants to get out of the way so my wife can be actually happy.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
How about that? Wasn't that something? That was pretty cool there. Well, not the promo. That's Josh McClain. He's always cool. But Lightning Malcolm, and wasn't that great? He's a great storyteller, and we talked a lot. Didn't play as much, but that's fine. We wanted to chat and catch up. I do highly recommend you finding his music, and adding it to your collection. It's tremendous stuff, and he's such a creative dude and such a lovely, lovely man, and just a great cat all the way around. See, it's stuff like this, though, that drags me out of that seasonal affective disorder. It drags me out of the blues when you get to do stuff like that. It's shows like that and like this that really make it worthwhile to continue doing what I do. It's just this is what's fun to me, and I hope it was fun for you. So such as it is. All right, kids, look, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I got things to do. I got trouble to stir up somewhere along the way. So in the meantime, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other. All right. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.